Hello, my name is Tzipora Weinberg. Welcome to Torah Simecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek 89. This Perek ends the third book of the five books of Tehillim. It is a long mizmor containing 53 pesukim, mostly in praise of Hashem, but ending in a very surprising way. It comprises three distinct components, which in the final analysis are interconnected. Taken together, they typify a statement before the Ribono Shel Olam, before Hashem, a type of rhetorical query or complaint that is not answered with a definitive response. The Evan Ezra, in his introduction to this parak, relates the following fascinating anecdote. V'haya b'sfarad chacham gadol v'chassid, v'zeh ha'mizmor haya lav kasheh, v'lo haya korei oso, v'lo haya yachol lishmoa, b'avor ki zeh ha'mishorer yedaber kineged Hashem ha'nechbad kashos. There was a righteous person, a wise man in Spain, that was not capable of reading or even hearing this mizmor, because it sounds as if the mishorer was making very strong statements toward Hashem. Let's see what the statement is, and let's understand how and why we do say it. Maskil Esan HaEzrachi, a maskil of Esan of Ezrach. We begin that this is a perek of wisdom ascribed to Esan HaEzrachi, whom we learned about in the previous perek, that he was a very wise man indeed. And if our previous perek described a personal plight, perhaps a metaphor for exile, certainly the writing was individualistic in feel, here we right away discern that the style is immediately different. The first four pesukim already speak of the two major themes or axes that are at the perek's core. First is Hashem, the creator of the world and the way in which he created it, and second, the Malchus Beis David, the kingdom of the house of David. Chasdei Hashem olam ashira ledor vador odia emunascha befi. The kindnesses of Hashem I shall sing forever. To generation after generation I'll make known your faithfulness with my mouth. Ki amarti olam chesed yibaneh, shamayim tachin emunascha vahem. For I said, forever will it be built with kindness as the heavens with which you will establish your faithfulness. The foundational principle of the life of the Nesiva Shalom, the Slonim Rebbe, was this. Choose from the two worlds available to you at every moment in time, either the olam habinyan or the olam hachorban, the world of building, or the world of destruction. Hashem built the world because he is the source of good, and he wanted to share that good. And in this life, we have the choice to emulate him and be a part of the upkeep of this world. That is what acts of chesed are, and that is what we have the ability to choose. The next two psukim seem disconnected. Karati bris levechiri, nishpati ledavid avdi, ad olam achin zarecha, uvanisi ledar vadar kis acha selah. I formed a covenant with my chosen one. I swore to David, my servant, until eternity, I will establish your seed and I will build your throne for all generations forever. This promise is contained in Shmuel Beis, Perek 7, the words of Nasan the prophet. David wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash and was told, you won't get to build it yourself, but the legacy is yours and it will never depart from you as it did from Shaul. The kingdom indeed remains in David's line always, unconditionally. And here in this perek is the manifestation of that prophecy. It's fascinating to note the placement of this about the longevity of David's kingdom smack dab in the middle of discussion of creation of the world. Because right afterwards, from Sukkim 6 to 19, we have a full description of its creation. And it is because these are the two emphases of the perek, as we mentioned before, both will be elaborated upon further on, so they're being introduced here simultaneously. And it is teaching us that the house of David is an integral part of creation, and the only way that the creation of the world reaches its completion is with the establishment of the kingdom of the house of David. So the next 13 psukim praise Hashem and his power. The world is full of Hashem's majesty. V'yodu shamayim pil acha Hashem, afem unascha b'kahal kedoshim. The heavens acknowledge your wonder, Hashem. Also your faithfulness in the congregation of holy ones. Ki mi v'shachach yarocha Hashem, yidmela Hashem b'vnei elim. For who in the heavens is equal to Hashem? Who resembles Hashem among the sons of the mighty? Kel Naharot Besod Kedoshim, Rabba Venora Al Kol Sivivav. Hashem is revered in the great council of holy ones and is feared by all around him. Hashem Elokei Tzivakos, Micha Mocha, Chasin Ka, Ve'munascha Sivivosecha. O Hashem, Hashem of hosts, who is like you, who is as mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the pride of the sea. When it raises its waves, you humble them. The heaven is yours, even the earth is yours. The inhabited earth and the fullness thereof, you founded them. You have an arm that is mighty, lift it up and let it be strengthened. Righteousness and judgment are the basis of your throne. Kindness and truth come before your countenance. And within this majesty that's described is a nation that is beautiful, and they coronate Hashem. Ashrei ha'am yodei seruah Hashem ba'ar panecha yahalechun. Fortunate is the people that know the blasting of the shofar, O Hashem, may they walk in the light of your face. V'shimcha yegilun kol hayom uvitzadchascha yarimu. With your name they rejoice every day, and with your righteousness they are exalted. Ki la'Hashem maginenu v'lekdosh Yisrael malkenu. For our shield is devoted to Hashem and our King, the Holy One of Israel. Could anything be better than this? This is the end of the first part. And part two goes on to the choice of David as king. Psukim 20 to 38, 18 psukim, it speaks of the significance of Hashem's selection of David. His is not a random anointment. He is the chosen one. Az dibarti v'chazon l'chasidecha v'atomer shivisi ezer al gibar harimosi v'chur me'am. Then you spoke in a vision to your pious ones and you said, I placed my help on a mighty man. I lifted up a chosen one from the people. Matsasi David avdi b'shemen kodshi m'shachtiv. I found David my servant. Matsasi, in all the generations I sought until I found David, he was the one. I anointed him with my holy oil. Asher yaditi koni mo af zeroi sa'amtzenu. With whom my hand will be established, even my arm will strengthen him. Lo yashi ayev bo uven avla lo ya'anenu. No enemy will exact from him, neither will an unjust person afflict him. Hu yikra'eni aviata keli v'tzor yeshuasi. He will call to me, you are my father, my Hashem, and the rock of my salvation. Af ani b'char etnehu elyon l'malchei aretz. I too will make him a firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. La'olam eshmar chasdi uvrisi ne'emen eslo. I'll forever keep my kindness for him, and my covenant will remain true to him. V'samti la'ad zaro v'chiso kimei shamayim. And I shall make his seed endure forever, and his throne as eternal as the days of the heavens. But now, if they leave my ways, and they don't keep my laws, what will be the outcome? They will be punished. Ufakadati v'shevet pish'am uvinaga'im avonam. I will punish their transgression with a rod. V'chazti lo afir me'imo v'lo ashaker be'amunasi. I will not cancel my kindness from him, and I will not betray my faith. I will not go back on my promise to David. Lo achalel brisi umotzasif asai lo ashaneh. I won't profane my covenant, neither shall I alter the utterance of my lips. Achas nishpati v'kodshiim l'David achazev. I promise never to disappoint David. His children will always be mine, and the kingdom will be established forever. These are the two axes of the Perek, interconnected, the creation of the world and the primacy of the kingdom of the house of David. One thing I have sworn by my holiness, that I will not fail David HaMelech. Zaro liolam yihyeh v'chiso kashemesh negdi. His seed will be forever, and his throne is like the sun before me. And then this entire beautiful, sweet song turns quickly into something so unexpected, a cry of pain with difficult words as are not found anywhere else in Tanakh. And this is part three. All of this is true, but where is Malchus Beis David today? The promise doesn't stand up to the reality. In fact, the reverse is true. And if the world is inextricably tied to the kingdom of David, then a world without his kingdom is meaningless. The Mishorer from Pasuk 39. Va'ata zanachta v'atim'as, hisabarta in Meshichecha. But you abandoned and you rejected. You became angry with your anointed. Na'arta bris avdecha chilalta la'aretz nizro. You abrogated the covenant of your servant. You profaned his crown to the ground. Paratzta chol gedei rosav samta mivtzarav michita. You breached all his fences. You made his fortifications a ruin. Harimosa yamin sarav, hismachta kol ayvav. You raised the right hand of his enemies. You caused all of them to rejoice. You even turned back the sharp edges of his sword and you didn't raise him up in battle. You shortened the days of his youth and you've enwrapped him in shame forever. How long, Hashem, will you hide forever? Will your anger burn like fire? Zachar ani ma cheled al mashav barasa kol bnei adam. Why did you create man? It seems as if it is futile. And the question is not that man lives for a short time and is therefore purposeless. The intention of the Mishnah is that if we don't have Malchus based David, as we do not right now, there is no reason for this world. Mi gever yichya velo yireh mavesi malet nafsho miyad sha'ol sela. Who is a man who will live and not see death, who will rescue his soul from the grasp of the grave forever? Ayei chasadecha harishonim Hashem, nishpata leDavid beemunasecha. Where are your former acts of kindness, Hashem, which you swore to David in your trust? And it ends with these words, and this closes the book. Baruch Hashem la'olam, amen va'amen. Blessed are you, Hashem, forever, amen, amen. How sad. And why so? In comparison to the end of the first book of Tehillim, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael meha'olam vi'ad ha'olam, amen va'amen. Blessed is Hashem, God of Israel, from all the times past, amen va'amen. The second book ends, Baruch Hashem Elokim Elokei Yisrael, O Senefla, O Slavado. Again, the same terminology. The fourth book ends, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael mi'ad ha'olam vi'ad ha'olam. Clearly, what is left here? What is left out? Elokei Yisrael is omitted. To explain, we bring the Gemara that tells us of the times that Moshe began his prayer as we do today with the words Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora, Hashem the Great, the Mighty, and the Awesome. But Yirmiyahu left out the word Nora, his awesomeness. Where is his awesomeness as he is witnessing the destruction of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel? Daniel didn't say the word Hagibor as the children of Israel were taken to exile. And it's not that the prophets were hurt from Hashem, Chas v'Shalom, and therefore seized their praise of him. We do our job and thank Hashem no matter what. But the great ones said, how could we say the name of Hashem when that name is not present in his actions in this world? Here, the praise of Elokai Yisrael, Elokei Yisrael, is not manifest in the actions of Hashem. The power of Hashem isn't present in the world if Malchus Beis David is missing. And now that we finish the Perek, we understand why the great man of Spain didn't want to say it. We understand the purpose of Emuna is not to ask after his ways. A Jew should accept Hashem's dealings with him without complaint. So we must understand what the meaning of the kingdom of David, without which the world is incomplete, and its relevance to us. The establishment of David's kingdom is something we pray for three times a day. It is indeed the center of Judaism. Hashem chose David as the symbol of his presence, his glory in this world, which is why a king who serves as connector of the Jews and Hashem is the only one who is allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash. He represents the kingdom of Hashem on earth. We need David for tefillah, as he says, Va'ani tefillah. He is the prayer. He gave us the words to use to reach out to him. His job is to teach Torah to the Jews, as he did and as his descendants did. We can't have Yiddishkeit, Judaism, without David HaMelech. We can't have a Jewish people without David HaMelech. The Perek asks, if we don't have David HaMelech, we don't have the world. You created a world of chesed and you created David. So this Perek is therefore a plea that Mashiach return so that this promise be fulfilled. Since it is included here, and it is not omitted despite all that we have learned, it teaches us a tremendous lesson. The fact that a person questions and expresses his pain and expresses his feelings, that's never a contradiction to true faith. Because a person's emuna is so strong and she is so close, she never has a reason to fear. If someone has no answers, I don't ask that person. If there's someone I don't trust, I don't wonder about their behavior toward me. Someone of whom I have no expectations, I don't get upset with the way that they treat me. Avraham Avinu spoke to Hashem on the face of Sodom's destruction. He felt he had to state his case. When Hashem was ready to destroy Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu contested Hashem's stance. Our tzaddikim did this throughout the generations. Particularly from the place of strongest faith came the most difficult questions. And this perek is no different. It shows a heart full of pain because the Meshorer believes that there is one who will answer him. The power of these questions prove the potency of this faith. We will end with a story. Reb Chaskel Abramsky was a Torah giant, the Rosh Yeshiva of Slutsk. As a punishment for spreading Judaism in a communist regime, he was sent to Siberia in 1930. And one morning he woke up early, and the Russian at his side, actually a wise professor who was also incarcerated with him, asked him, "Why did you get up?" He said he wanted to daven, he wanted to pray before work starts. And the Russian said, "Ha, until now I thought you were smart. Now I see you're foolish. You're going to pray?" Reb Chaskel went on and he started to daven. And he said, "Moda, thank you." But the words of the Russian had an impact upon him and he started to wonder, "Thank you? What exactly am I thanking for? The comfortable rest I had here, the good night's sleep? The family I left behind that I have no idea where they are? Ani, me. What am I? Is there a self left here at all where I'm dehumanized and turned into nothing but a force for production? Lifanecha, before you. Is this how a Jew stands before Hashem? Without a talis, without a tefillin, without Shabbos? How can I approach you?" And so on. Every word seemed ludicrous to him, and it was very hard for him to daven. Shechezarta binishmasi, did I want my soul returned to me? Did I want to wake up at all? But then he said, "Rabba emunasecha." The literal meaning is that Hashem's loyalty and honesty is great. Reb Chaskel said, "Oh, now I understand why I pray. These that surround me can take everything from me. They can take my talis and tefillin, my time and my family, but they can't take away my belief in you." Reb Chaskel met the Rebbe, Reb Yosef Yitzchak of Lubavitch, who also suffered tremendously at this time, and he told him this story. And the Rayatz answered, "I'm not really allowed to say this, but perhaps all of your life in your exile, the entire purpose of it all might have been to get to that very moment that you felt with all your heart and thanked Hashem for Rabba Emunasecha." We, the Jews, had many questions over the years, and we believe in Hashem, and we believe in Mashiach. We ask Hashem because we know that Hashem will answer our questions. We bless Him for our faith in Him because that is the one thing on this earth that no one can take away from us. Baruch Hashem le'olam, amen ve'amen. Our life is about believing in you. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmas Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.